Hallelujah, hallelujah. So where do we pick up? There's some things that were occurring to me just as he was going and running through that. For one, we're not alone. We're not alone to accomplish this. What does John 1 and 16 tell us? It says, of his fullness we have all received. Of his fullness, that means of his completion. How he was complete and who he was and who he was with the Father. That completion that he had with the Father, it's ours already. It's ours for an inheritance. It's ours to grab a hold of. It's ours to take and run with. See, we're not alone because he's already done it for us. He's already made it available. It's just a matter of us beginning to apprehend it, beginning to comprehend it, and beginning to have an understanding that we can. See, we already really understand when it comes to our righteousness, we understand the place of exchange. When it comes to our righteousness, we understand that we can't go to the Father based on our own righteousness, that we have to go based on his righteousness. Does anybody think you're going to go on your own righteousness? If not, if you do, then come visit with me and I'll help you out. But if you think, but see, we go to him based on his righteousness. We go because Christ has already been righteousness on our behalf. He already gave us this assignment as a righteous person. And the word says that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And so we already understand and know this thing. So when we're coming into the place of exchange, when we're coming into the place of learning how to deny self and to carry this place, the death within him, we need to understand that it's not going to be of us either in the same way. But see, we also have help. Turn with me to John 16. There's a place of exchange here. This is what the focus is, what he's talking about. John 16. This one was what I was seeing just as LaRue was sharing here. It was coming back into my thought process. Verse 8. So when he comes, he will convict the world. This is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus has said, it's good for me to go away because the Holy Spirit's going to come. When he comes, he's bringing something with him. When he comes, he's going to have an action on your behalf. So you're not left all to your own devices. You're not left to accomplish it in your own strength. Here he says, because when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now see, I've always taught that the part about the judgment, because I've always taught that because everything that the enemy has done has already been judged. Everything that the enemy has done has already been judged. But see, what I see something else in here today. I see something new in here today because the old man, the old works, the works that were needed to be buried have already been judged. And he's convicting you of that judgment on the old man. The old man is buried by the action of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And the new man, that's what the righteousness of God there. He's convicting you of the righteousness of God. That righteousness of God, that's the part that is the new man. He's calling it forth. He's bringing it forth. Why? Because these are the actions that are necessary to change us, to cause us to come into a resurrection, to cause us to come into an alignment with God in the resurrection. So the Holy Spirit is working in you in two different ways. He's working to bury the old man, and he's working to bring forth the new man who's within you. Because as he calls forth the new man, there's a new understanding. And when you begin to understand the righteousness of God that you have, now you can freely enter in. I can tell you that just what we shared, what was shared yesterday when he shared this message, I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning when you get up and you begin to pray, you're going to see something different in your approach to God. Because see, by an understanding that you're not alone trying to have to bury the old man, you can call forth and walk in the fullness of resurrection life as you approach him, because you already understand the righteousness that's been imputed for you, the righteousness that's been accounted on your behalf. And you're going to see it in a brand new way, knowing that I'm not responsible to do all this all by myself anymore. I don't have to make all that happen. I just have to cooperate with God, come into an alignment with him. I can tell you my own prayer time this morning, I came into God's presence. You know, some days you have that little struggle where you're trying to deal with what all I did yesterday. Well, there wasn't any dealing with what I did yesterday. I just stepped in. It was about 2-3 seconds, just stepped in. Why? Because I understand there's somebody helping me deal with what I did yesterday. There's somebody who's already burying what I did yesterday. There's somebody who's already putting that behind me, and so that I can come into the place where now I can come in, because as I come into this place with Him, I have the opportunity to overcome those things, not by my will, but by His power. Not by my will and not by my works, but by His grace. Because it's an operation of grace. And what is grace anyway? Grace is that which fulfills the will of the Father. Grace is that which comes to enable us to overcome the things of the flesh. Grace it comes. And you know, something that Tina shared on Sunday, what grace is and can carries the timing of God for your life. It is and carries the timing of God for your life. So there are some things that we begin to see. She stirred some thoughts because she began to teach about there's an exchange happening. And there's an exchange happening right here. And that exchange is we're learning how to lay down our own authority, that we may carry the authority of God, that we may step into the authority of God. That's what you're looking for here, is an exchange of the things that you've understood, of things that you've been able to do or not been able to do, and so that you can come into the authority of God to do it. So you can come into authority to God to see it made manifest. We have to come into the place of exchange. God is looking to establish the exchange in our heart, looking to establish the exchange and knowing and teaching us to know that it's done by grace. Not by my will, not by my power, not by the works that I've done, not by the deeds that I've accomplished, but by His calling, by His grace, by His power to make it happen. Some of the things that we were sharing on Monday when LaRue and I were sharing was simply just coming into a place of knowing who we really are in Christ, knowing who we are in God. And one of the prayers that I've worked on here recently, it comes out of John 17 and 5, where he tells the Father he's ready to be clothed with the Father. Clothe me with the Father. He's ready to be clothed with the Father. Well, I began to just call out to the Lord to be clothed with Him. And then He ran me across this Mark 14, verse 62, and Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. And He's sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. See, what we're looking for here is to come into the place of exchange, to come in and identify, but that means we need to identify who the Father really is, and we identify Him by His attributes. And right here, He's making it very plain, very clear and very plain, because why? Because power is capitalized. It's a person, it's making it personal. It's making it possessive. In other words, He's calling the Father power. Because Jesus, we already know, sits at the right hand of the Father. And so what He's saying, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's calling Him dunamis. He is the origin of dunamis, the essence of dunamis. The essence of God is the essence of dunamis. The essence of dunamis is that power and authority that He's made available to us. So now what we do when we're asking Him to clothe ourselves, says, Lord, clothe me with Your dunamis, with Your love. Clothe me with Your love, Lord. Clothe me, Lord, in that which is Your truth, Lord. Clothe me in that which is Your light. Clothe me, Lord, in that which is Your knowledge, Lord. Clothe me in that which is Your life. As You clothe me in this, Father, clothe me in this power. Teach me, Lord. Teach me of Your ways, Lord, that I may know You. See, as you do this, as you begin to do it, you begin to draw into Him. Because love draws us into Him. Love always draws us nearer to Him. Every time and every moment that we're spending with Him, it draws us closer. And the closer that we get with Him, the more the things that are opposed to Him will just begin to fall off. You can't come close to God without having some things begin to fall off. But it's no longer about you doing it. It's no longer about us spending days and weeks and months trying to fast our way into it. Because the reality is that I've fasted myself into some pretty remarkable places in God. And I tell you what, after about 3 weeks, that place is kind of done. But when you come in with Him, what you find is that the things that are most needful are dealt with. Why? Because when we're dealing with ourselves, when we're trying to deny ourselves, when we're trying to do it all of our own works, we're only working on the thing that we see. God and the Holy Spirit's not limited by what we see. He's not limited by those things that we see or we don't see. He's only limited by our faith to engage Him and our ability to stay with Him. So when we allow Him to come and we begin to draw near to Him and say, Lord, clothe me in Yourself. He'll come around you and He'll wrap around you. And everything that's not of Him gets coated and moved and kind of oozed on out of there. Without you having to do it. As a matter of fact, what you'll do, you'll become conscious of it, and it's just very easy to let loose because now, oh, Lord, I see it. I see it like You see it. I don't like that either. I didn't have to do anything to make it happen. I didn't have to try to work myself up to it. I didn't have to try to overcome something that the flesh was still trying to do. I just stood in the place of exchange because I was able to come near to Him. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be changed. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be different. Tomorrow morning, God has got something He's going to be stirring in your heart. When He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, it's a place of exchange. It's a place of exchange. Because Christ went in and he began to come into this place with the Father. But there's another place of exchange, and that was at the garden. And in that garden, he comes in and he begins to come to the Father. And as he comes to the Father, there's something that happens in him. And so the first, because there's this place here, he doesn't come to that place of exchanging the first time. Because he recognizes the struggle. It says in one of the verses there that he began to sweat blood. That's somebody who's a lot of pressure. Because he began to sweat blood because he was trying when he was having to overcome the flesh. And finally now I understand what that verse in Hebrews 5:8 means. Because in Hebrews 5:8 it speaks there, if you want to turn with me there for just a second. That he learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And I always thought, well, how can somebody who was perfect ever even have to learn obedience? But see, what that really means is he brought into an experience. If you'd study out the Greek, it actually means he brought into an experience what it means to submit. He brought into an experience because what he brought into experience was looking and submitting himself to a higher power. Submitting himself to the Father. He brought it not even for his own edification, but he brought it for ours to show us that it's more than possible, that we can yield ourselves and we can come into an exchange with another, a higher power. We can come into exchange with the Father. Because as we come into the place of exchange, now then everything that he has need of can be released both in you and now through you. How does that work? Well, what's the purpose of the seed? Remember he said this was all relative to the seed. What's the purpose of a mustard seed? What's the purpose of an apple seed? To grow. Yes, at first it has to grow. First it has to die, but then what's the next purpose? It has to be regenerated. It grows. And then when it grows, it multiplies. It multiplies. When we're busy trying to die by ourselves and deny ourselves, if that's the only way, if we just do it by our own strength, how many people have had people join them when you're denying and go by yourself? You might get Sharon to join you on a fast. But pretty much, you're on your own, Bubba. I haven't known too many people who say, you know, hey, Chuck, I see you're on a fast. I'm going to just come join you, okay? I've begged some people to help me on a fast. And Miss Lilywood, okay. But whatever it is, in other words, however you're going about denying self, guess what? You're pretty much on your own. But there's no multiplication in that. But when you deny self, by letting God do it in you and through you, there's something so beautiful and wonderful that's born that other people want to emulate that. Why? Because they see it. Because they see it and then they can experience it. And when they see it and they can experience it, now they want it and they'll join in. And there's an automatic multiplication that can't happen any other way. You want an example? What's happening with Pastor? The love, the tangible love that has been born in him is something that others can look at and see and desire because they know what a rotten scoundrel he was and they know who he is now. I think I'm preaching good. Has anybody else? Is it not the most wonderful thing for all of us to experience? Because it happens with him, but you know what? Because it's happened with him, it can happen with us. And because it's happening with him and it happens with us, now it can begin to happen in a city. When it begins to happen in a city, now we've got a revelation going on. We've got a whole revival happening. Because why? Because people began to love and look like Christ. People began to change, not just out of their mouth, but out of their deeds. Out of their hearts. And their hearts are being made manifest. And what is happening there? Now all of a sudden things are shifted. Why? Because we denied self, not out of our own works, but because we were in cooperation with the power of God. He's not looking to keep you the same. He's going to love you just the way you are. But he's also going to love you enough to give you the impetus and the ability to change. Hallelujah. It's more than just us. When we become clothed with him. We become clothed with him. And we can allow Holy Spirit to work in us. Bringing forth a judgment. Bringing forth judgment on the old man. Bringing forth the nature of the new man through the righteousness of God. He's going to change everything about us. He's going to bring us in. Because why? Because we begin to understand the nature of his rest. When we understand the nature of his rest, it means we don't have to do it on our own. We cease from our own works. Tell it with me into Hebrews 3 for just a moment, and I'm going to wrap this up. Hallelujah. Because after that one comment, I think my time is coming short. You're walking in love. Hallelujah. My time had already been up, right? Hebrews 3. Jesus declares himself to be the high priest of our confession. What are you going to call him? What are you going to call him? And at the end of Hebrews 3, it explains why Israel was not able to come in, why they couldn't enter into the promised land or the rest. Hebrews 3 and 18 says this, whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? Well, this is the promised land, but to those that were disobedient. See, if you have a King James, instead of disobedient, the word there is believed not. Unbelief. They didn't enter the rest because of unbelief. They didn't enter the rest because of unbelief. But if you'll notice there by those translations that the translation of unbelief and the translation of disobedience, it's the same word. What is he saying? He says when we cease from our own works, we're ceasing from our disobedience. When we cease from our own works, we're ceasing from our unbelief. When we enter into his rest, the process of entering into his rest is dealing with the unbelief in our life. It's dealing with the disobedience in our life. We no longer have to do it because we can cease from our own works and we can come to the place that's called the throne of grace. And what do we receive in the throne of grace? Mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen, amen. Just listen to this verse because he was right on that. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then, we have a great high priest. He is your high priest for a reason. He is there not only to build you up, but to bury those things that is passed in the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. Tempted in all points. Yet without sin. He already won the battle you're struggling with. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace to find grace and help in the time of need. Say, find grace and help. When you wake up tomorrow, or when you're facing trials this week, you don't have to face those on your own. So many times before we go to the Lord, say, Lord, as soon as I get this fixed, I'll come to you. You can't fix that. Take your stuff with you to him. He's your high priest. He's been tempted in everything that you're dealing with. Bring it to him and he'll orchestrate a baptism and a resurrection. But as long as you're trying to fix it, you're stopping his baptism. He can't take care of it as long as you're trying to take care of it. It's a work, and as soon as works is detected, it cuts his grace off. Then you're forced to do it yourself. Have enough faith to believe. It's hard sometimes to take your shortcoming, your failure, and your stuff you're dealing with and bring it into his light. But the day you learn to do that, and to understand, I can't do this. It's not my death. It's not my discipline you're looking for. It's your perfect sacrifice. I'm entering into the perfection of what you've already done. You're capable of burying this, and you're capable of raising me up. I'll not run, and I'll not hide. I bring this into the light to receive grace and mercy. Baptism and resurrection is the mystery of the seed. Being made conformable to his death, being raised into his glory.